Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2, and we will just be reading verses 12 and 13. Those are the last two verses in the chapter. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them, with the Lord at their head. We've been looking at this book of Micah, and if you remember, it can really be divided easily into three sections. A section about judgment, a section about restoration, and a section about faithfulness. And in each of these sections, while there is a particular emphasis or stress, they both have a bit of judgment and a bit of restoration. This first section, as I said, is mainly about judgment, but yet at the end, it has these two verses, this light, as it were, at the end of a long tunnel. If you can imagine being in a dark tunnel and you're seeing that light at the end, that is kind of like what these verses are in the midst of this dark section. We've heard about this nation, God's people, who were in many ways going a different way than he had commanded them to go. And so he was bringing judgment and disaster upon them. An army was going to come in and destroy their land and besiege their main city of Jerusalem. And we saw how that was because of the powerful taking advantage of those who are weak and helpless amongst that nation, amongst God's people. And we saw about how the prophets, the people who were supposed to speak God's word, were corrupting that and simply supporting the powerful in their evil ways. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of the destruction and carnage that this section talks about, we have these words of hope. And really, there's two pictures. If you think about these verses, there's two verses, and each verse has a picture. One is a picture of a shepherd, and the other is a picture of a king. I think shepherding is a little bit foreign to us today, but it's an image of guidance, of care. You know, a shepherd would be out with his flock and he would protect them from wild animals, from wolves, from lions even. So it's a protection. If one of his sheep were to break the leg, he would bind it up. It's of healing, of comfort and of care. But it's also one of correction. He'll keep the sheep on the right path and one of guidance and leadership. And that is what we see in this passage. But we also see a victorious king breaking out against his enemies for his people, bringing victory to them. And maybe you feel like this people. They were downtrodden, discouraged. They were under all kinds of difficulty. You think about the people in Aleppo right now who are under siege. There is a hopelessness, a lack of basic supplies, medical supplies, water, that sort of thing. And they are discouraged. It seems like the last moment. And that is probably in some ways what this would have been like. There was an army of what we would call today terrorists, basically. They would just completely wipe things out in front of them, coming and devastating the whole land and surrounding the main city of Jerusalem as like a noose tightening around it. So there would have been much discouragement. But in the midst of that, there is this great hope of one who will be a shepherd to his people and one who will be a victorious king. And so simply what I want you to see this evening is that Christ, because all of this points to Jesus, believe it or not, but Christ is a shepherd king for us. And he is our great shepherd king, and he is the one to whom we must look in discouragement. Some of you might have an outward sort of thing you push out there of toughness and of strength. But inside, sometimes maybe you don't feel that way. Sometimes you feel perhaps discouraged, scattered, vulnerable, trapped. And it is Christ who is the only answer for you in that. And that's who I want you to see this evening. I want you to see Christ who gathers as a shepherd and Christ who breaks out in victory as a king. So again, this idea of shepherd is one of caring, of guidance. And it was the hope of this people that there would be one who would come, who would restore, who would build up, who would bind up, who would heal, who would take all that that seemed broken and destroyed and gone with the wind. And he would bring it again in glory. We see this in how he would gather. Look with me at verse 12. It says that he will gather, he will put them together as sheep in a fold, like a flock in pasture. There's a sense of wholeness. You know, this idea of sheep coming into an enclosure, into a fold, that was where they would find protection. That's where they would be protected against the wild animals. Sheep are vulnerable animals. I go on a walk in the mornings and I walk by a field with sheep and they sort of scurry away as I come near the fence. But as I was walking this week, I was thinking, you know, if a wolf were to come into this field, it would be nothing for him just to grab one of those sheep. They're really just completely defenseless. They can sort of toddle away a little bit, but other than that, they have no way to defend themselves. And in this fold, they would find under their shepherd a protection and a care. And yet there's also this idea of them being out in the pasture under their shepherd, again protected, but with provision, the richness of grass and of water that they would need, everything they need for wholeness and life and joy. And this picture is one of this shepherd gathering them into a fold, but gathering them into a fold where they'll also be able to go out into pasture and find wholeness and joy and all the provision that they need. And this sort of gathering, this gathering for their good, for their joy, for their wholeness, is one that is certain. And notice at the beginning of that verse, it says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. What is being emphasized here is this is not something that might happen. It's not I might possibly do this or I might possibly do that. But it's, I definitely will do this. And we can have that kind of confidence in God. If he says something, he will follow through. You know, all of us tonight have had plenty of people let us down in our lives, I think. We know what that's like. But actually, what probably is a little bit more unusual is to have someone in our life that we can always trust, that we know will never, ever, ever let us down. And that is exactly what this passage is saying that God is like. As a shepherd that gathers his people, that guides them, takes care of them in a way that they can always trust. That is who God is as a shepherd. He's not only caring, but he's not just some soft little guy who doesn't follow through with what he says. He is one who cares tenderly, but he has the strength and might and power to follow through with that care. There's a wholeness here, there's a certainty. But I also want you to notice who he will gather. It's all of Jacob. And you have to know a little bit of background here. The people of God had long ago divided into two kingdoms. And they had been great and they had had an empire in what is now the Middle East. But that dividing into two kingdoms had just meant that those two kingdoms kind of dwindled into a little bit of nothing. And what is being said here is, I will restore that former glory. As a shepherd, I will bring you back under my care, and that will be for your good, for your glory, for all the good things that you once had. It will be returned to you. And it is a remnant, a remainder, because yes, there was going to be judgment. Yes, some would be cast away. But this is actually a note of grace here, because none of them deserved God's goodness. They had all gone their own way. They had all followed after their own desires and not after God's desires, like all of us do. And yet he was saying, I will be faithful to some of you even still. And that is who God is, a faithfulness even when we are faithless to him. It's all of Jacob, the restoring of that former glory. It's a remnant showing God's grace and faithfulness, but it's a multitude. And here we should be encouraged. You know, let me just speak. Sometimes we look at the church in our day and we see it small and beleaguered. But there's a promise here of gathering as our shepherd gathers God's people. And it says that they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. These people were discouraged and downtrodden. They were hemmed up in a little city. And yet God is saying, I will do something glorious and majestic and mighty for you. I will make you to overflow with people. I will make you great and glorious. And it shall be so great that there shall be a deafening noise. And you know, one day that will happen, as all of God's people glorify him before the throne. We read in the book of Revelation, after these things I looked, and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Ultimately, all of this points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who says, I am the good shepherd. And he portrays himself as that shepherd because he knew that these things had been written of him. That this shepherd had been promised who would come and who would gather a people for himself. Because, you know, all of us have gone our own way. All of us have said, you know what, God, yes, you've made me. And you may think, well, I've never said that. But deep down, you know that God exists and that he has made you. And yet, all of us have gone our own way. All of us have decided, I want to live how I want to live. And yet, there is this great truth that God is a shepherd who gathers even stray sheep. Even sheep that are going off their own way, who are so, don't even realize that they're going to danger. And yet, they're heading straight for a cliff. And that is the way God is. And that is the sort of gathering that he does. That is the sort of gathering that Christ did. He came to this earth to gather for himself a people. To restore his church. And he came to live perfectly the way that you could not. He came to die because you deserved death for your rebellion against God. He is the good shepherd. But you know what? He's also a glorious, victorious king. Some of you might have a picture of a king in your mind, much like current kings. They're a bit of a figurehead. They wear fancy dress, essentially. But they're not much to be afraid of. But back when this was written, a king wasn't worth his salt if he couldn't stand before his soldiers and manfully fight, take up his sword, and lead them into battle. And that is the sort of king that is being talked about in these verses here. It says that he will break out against his enemies as an unstoppable warrior. And perhaps you've seen television shows or something, I don't know, but you have that picture of a warrior. When I thought of this, I thought, I don't know how many of you have seen the films, The Lord of the Rings, but you think of the Rohirrim as they were besieged by Saruman's forces in their mountain fortress. And they think all is lost. And yet the king, he rides out with his horsemen and he sweeps all of those orcs or whatever they were before him. That's the sort of king, that manly sort of king that is being talked about here. It says that he will break out through the gate. And actually that word gate is very significant, because in the previous chapter it was saying that the enemy forces were going to come to the gate. That judgment of God through these enemy forces was even going to come to the gate. It was narrowing down on them. The noose was tightening around them. And yet this is a great note of grace, because that gate that had been a symbol of judgment against God's people, the enemy forces were coming up even to the gate. They were coming closer and closer and closer. Now that's where the king is going to go out through to defeat them, to lead his people in victory. And maybe you know what it's like to be under the judgment of God. You know, many difficult things befall us. And really, particularly if we're not in Christ, if we have not trusted Jesus, all these things are just like flashing warning signs, flashing, saying judgment is coming to you. And you need to turn to Christ, because it will one day overtake you. But now is the time to repent. Now is the time of salvation. Maybe you know what it's like to be under judgment. But that judgment, if you turn to Christ, can be turned to victory, as he turns the very difficulties and struggles that you find against you into the very things that he brings victory for you through. And it says that it will be from inside. This is interesting. I don't know if you have a picture in your mind of a siege. Again, you know, maybe you think of Aleppo and the Syrian forces surrounding the free army of Syria and tightening that noose. But normally, a siege is broken from the outside. A relieving army comes and scatters the ones that have come around and besieged a city. But here, the siege is going to be broken from the inside. It says, the one who breaks open will come up before them, and they will break out and pass through the gate. And that is actually quite significant in a way, because it reminds us that our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, became like one of us in order to bring salvation and victory to us. He did not come from the outside, but he became one of us. He became a man. He knew our struggles and our trials. And he lived in this earth perfectly the way we couldn't. And he took that punishment that we deserved. And notice something else. It says that their king will pass before them, with the Lord at their head. Now, that might not strike you as significant immediately, but in this time there were kings. and then there was God. But what this does is this takes God and the king and makes it one and the same. And this is actually, therefore, pointing to Jesus Christ, who is God, who is our king, who came to this earth as our king, who is reigning now in heaven, and who will return on his white horse in mighty, glorious victory to judge the living and the dead and to lead his people in glorious triumph. This is our king. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must be sure and we must be careful that we're not on the wrong side of this king. Because he will break out. He will lead his people in glorious victory. And there is a great proclamation right now. Come, trust Christ. Come, be one of his people. Come, give yourself to him, and he will lead you out in victory. But if you ignore that, you might find yourself as one of those who he is coming against. And so you must be careful. And you must come to Christ. You want to be one of his people who is riding out behind him in victory. This is Christ. If you want to know who Christ is, he is a shepherd, one who leads and guides, one who binds up, one who takes care, one who gives guidance and wholeness and fullness, and one who will never let you down. And he is a glorious, manly, victorious king who can lead you in victory. So be encouraged. Trust this king. Maybe you know him well, but you are going through trials and difficulties and frustrations. You need to be reminded of his shepherding. You need to be reminded of his victorious kingship. Maybe you do not know him, and you need to submit to this king, that you might have joy and gladness and victory as part of his people. But either way, hear him, see him. This is Christ, this shepherd king. Let us pray. O Lord God, you are mighty and glorious, and there is so much good in you. We pray that each one of us tonight might know that goodness, that we might come and either again or for the first time lay ourselves before you as yours, trusting in you fully, that we might know the joy and gladness and wholeness that you bring, the faithfulness that you are, and that we might have great joy as you lead us out in victory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.